This is Ben Bresky, host of The Beat on Israel National Radio. This Hanukkah season, give the gift of music by donating to Israel National Radio. You can help us share the new, exciting Jewish musicians coming out of Israel that you hear on our station. Just click on the Support Us link on the top of IsraelNationalRadio.com and fill out the simple form. Israel National Radio, your source for new Jewish Israeli music.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present the Tamar Yona Show. Here's Tamar Yona.
Well, good morning, folks. You are listening to the Tamar Yona Show here, broadcasting out of Bet El, which means House of God, just north of Jerusalem, D.C. That's right, Jerusalem, David's capital, Jerusalem, King David's capital. Happy to be here with you today. We have a great show. We're going to be having on Joan Vian, who has done much research on the United Nations. She's been to over 91 of their conferences and UN-related conferences, and she's going to be discussing her new video today on the show called 2008 Credit Crisis, the final transfer of America's financial sovereignty. That's going to be in the show today because, folks, we're already under global government. That's what she says. And we invite you to call in with any comments or questions if you're listening to the show live. That means if it's between 7 and 8 a.m. Holy Time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between midnight and 1 a.m. Eastern Time in the United States and Canada, South America, etc. All right, and I have a great show for you today. Join us in the virtual studio if you're listening live as well. Go to our webpage at IsraelNationalRadio.com, and in the upper right-hand side of the page, you're going to see the virtual studio icon. Click on that, follow the instructions, and join us in the room. As well, if you are on the webpage, go to the Support Us button and show your support for the station that you love so much. All right, just one little announcement before we get into the show. I'd like you all to go to my blog, www.IsraelNationalNews.com/Tamar. IsraelNationalNews.com/Tamar. I put up a notice there that government forces were arriving last night, or in the afternoon your time if you're listening from overseas, to the Beit HaShalom, the House of Peace in Hebron, perhaps in order to drag and expel the families that are living in that building out of there. And they're asking for all people to show up there and pray and say psalms and to support the people. And if you are not in Israel, there are things you can do as well. Go to my website again. There's a letter there from the Women in Green organization, and they will tell you what to do. IsraelNationalNews.com/Tamar. All right, so with no further ado, let's go to another very big news story. And that is, are we already under global government? Joan Vian says yes, and she's come out with a video that's called, again, the 2008 Credit Crisis, the Final Transfer of America's Financial Sovereignty. Joan Vian is an author, researcher, businesswoman. She's a lecturer, and she's going to be talking about the current financial crisis, how it was possibly planned to jumpstart the long-awaited goal of a one world government. Now, was this crisis manufactured, this financial crisis? And if so, was it done to weaken the most powerful country in the world, bring it to its knees, making it open to outside intervention? In other words, if you have a strong country and it's independent, why would it want to go under an umbrella of a one world government or of some other type of entity telling it what to do? However, if you bring that nation to its knees, if you make financial crisis, if you have people who are about to lose their homes, people who don't have jobs anymore, people who can't put gas in their cars, people who the society is just crumbling, you're going to have a nation that's going to yell, help, 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 waiting for the lifeguard to throw out a line. Who is that lifeguard? Is it the more global government type entities? And that's what we're going to discuss today on the show. Welcome, Joan Vian.
Thank you, Tamar Yona. It is a joy to be here. As you know, a year ago this time, I was not able to be on your show due to an illness. And the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, is awesome because I am alive today.
It is so good to speak with you and have you here. And thank God as well. I wish you a full and speedy recovery, Joan.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, you came out with a new video. We're in a financial crisis. It's not only America. It's hitting the world as well. Why is this happening?
Why is this happening? You're so good. I will get to that. Let me lay some foundational truths here for your listeners. It's been a while. I don't know whether or not they remember me. First of all, I am a seeker of truth. I have not relied on the newspapers to tell me what truth is. Over the last 14 years, I have covered 101 global meetings around the world. I have been to literally many of the highest levels of power globally. The Bank for International Settlements, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, various United Nations meetings all over the world, the International Criminal Court, the World Trade Organization. I could go on and on, the G7, the G8. I was aware of some of the aspects 10, 12 years ago of what is happening today. Could I say then, back 10, 12 years ago, that in the future there would be this huge credit crisis? No. No, I couldn't. I didn't have that understanding. I was just seeing pieces. In 1996, I was at a meeting, the International Organization of Security Commissions, IOSCO. I was in Montreal, where they used to be headquartered. Now I think they're in Spain. And at that meeting, it literally is a United Nations of Security Commissioners. From the United States, you had the SEC. From China, you had their Security Commissioner, Israel, all the countries of the world that are members. And there I interviewed a dear, charming gentleman who explained to me as I was questioning him, truly out of ignorance, to be honest with you, but he was very gracious. He is the one who explained to me that they were looking to have a global stock exchange. And I remember being, what? A global stock exchange?
What does that mean?
Well, he explained it this way. He was from Nevis and St. Kitts in the Bahamas. And how he explained it was that the stock exchanges in the Bahamas would all merge together, and then they would merge together with, let's say, Central America, and then Central America would merge with all of South America. Okay? Now, we do have a global stock exchange. How that happened, and I didn't understand at the time how the structure would happen, is that every stock exchange in the world, Britain was the first one. It was called the Big Bang in the late 1980s. And their stock exchange went from being privately owned to a public corporation. And that went all the way around the world throughout the late 90s and 2000, so that you had the New York Stock Exchange going public, and you had the NASDAQ going public, and you had other stock exchanges merging with other stock exchanges, so that at one time the New York Stock Exchange owned, the NASDAQ owned 25 shares of the London Stock Exchange. They then sold that a year ago or so to Dubai, and the NASDAQ then bought the Nordic Stock Exchanges, so that NASDAQ is NASDOMX for the Nordic Stock Exchanges. You had the London Stock Exchange. The big deal was that the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ wanted to own the London Stock Exchange, okay? We have now the New York Stock Exchange bought the European Stock Exchange, okay? And so in Europe, you had over the last, 8-9 years, you had all the various, a number of the various countries of Europe merging their stock exchanges into the Paris Stock Exchange.
So what does all this mean?
Well, a global stock exchange, if you're going to have a global world means a world without borders and barriers, then you're also going to have structures that support a type of one world government structure. Those structures would include, as I mentioned, a global stock exchange, a global currency, a global tax system. And as I have been studying world government, I have correctly in my previous videos talked about the fact that the barriers that used to surround every country of the world have been torn down. I was correct with the exception of one barrier, the last remaining barrier, which is at the center of the whole global financial debacle that we are facing at this point in time. And before we go any further, I would just make mention, people can either go to my website or your producer told me he had a link to what I'm going to mention on yours. And that is that on my website, womensgroup.org, how do you explain a complex subject? I do it in pictures. And I have, Tamar, for you, I have about, probably about 15, 17 PowerPoint slides on my website that say Tamar Yona. It's at the top on the right-hand side.
I see it right there. Let me tell everybody to go there. It's Women's Group, womensgroup.org, womensgroup.org. On the right-hand column, it says Tamar Yona Radio Show. Click on that, and you'll be able to see the slides. And they really do help. I was looking through another article of or another slide presentation. If you just scroll down that same column where it says, let me just find that, Tovey Foster Report. You show how the barriers are breaking down through pictures of nation states and how the UN and or global, you know, government is able to tell separate sovereign nations what they have to do now and new laws and new restrictions on them. And these are people who we never voted for.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. There's a transnational level above the individual nation state. That transnational level, interestingly enough, started with Bretton Woods I in 1944. In 1944, the countries of the world came together here in the United States at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. There, John Maynard Keynes and from the United Kingdom and Harry Dexter White from the United States brought together ideas and concepts, of course they were pre-planned, about a global economic level, and they set up what became known as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. When they did that, what they were really doing was tearing down the economic barriers between the nation states.
So by making a World Bank instead of like a Bank of America, a Bank of Israel, they make a World Bank, and you're saying that's how they get their tentacles into other sovereign banks?
That is correct, because the IMF World Bank are transnational. They are above the nation state. Every country of the world, twice a year, sends their finance minister to the IMF World Bank meetings. And there, those finance ministers meet in a United Nations type of setting, and they make agreements, and they agree to change their national laws to international law, okay? That also happens at the United Nations in 1945. The countries of the world met in San Francisco, and they hammered out what became known as the United Nations Charter, we have then the United Nations. Every country sends an ambassador to the United Nations, and there on a level above the country's transnational level, those ambassadors and presidents and prime ministers have gone to the United Nations, and they have changed and agreed to many laws. All you have to do is go to the UN website, www.un.org, pick your favorite language, and maneuver around their website. It is amazing.
Joan, let me jump in here and ask you a question. What motivates our finance ministers or whatever ministers that we're sending over to these type of UN meetings that are going to conform the world to a, you know, under more of a global entity? What motivates them to go back to their own countries and change their laws to get with the program?
That's a great question. What motivates them? I think it's glory. I think it's power. I think it's, that's the only question I can come up with, the answer I can come up with. What motivates them? That's a great question, Tamar, because you see, what has been set in place above the nation state is a whole level of international government through the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, the World Trade, the World Health Organization. There is just a whole level. And on the, if people will look around on the Tamar Yonah website, I have the PowerPoint presentation.
Let them go to your website, because
slide.
Joan, I sent out an email to all of the people who subscribe to my list, and that's where the links are, and they all link back to you, so they should go to your website. And
okay, my
those.
Website. Okay, right. Go to the Tamar Yonah, okay, and go to the fifth, you'll see the round circles. And there's a one circle that says a steps to an integrated world. And I explain how at one time all the countries of the world had these various structures or walls around them, and how all the different walls have been torn down over the years, so that when we talk about where we are today, the only remaining barrier separating nation states, and this is one that I had overlooked and not recognized, is national regulations over banks, insurance, and brokerage firms. And that those are the last remaining laws. If you take a look at the international level of government above nation states, okay, this is what has been set in place. It's the seventh PowerPoint slide, and I show that as the financial with the IMF in 1944 was set in place, and the political with 1945 with the United Nations, and the trade in 1994 with the World Trade Organization, and the legal with the International Criminal Court in 1998, and how the military and the intelligence barriers were torn down in 2001, that what really remains today, as we take a look, are the regulatory rules. They're all national. And what we are seeing through the evolution of this credit crisis, which first began in the United States with the subprime, and then that was in August of 2007, and then by January of 2008, it became bigger. It became a credit crisis for the whole entire America, and then by August of this past year, 2008, it became a global credit crisis. If you're going to finalize the merging of individual countries, then you also have to have every single one of them adopt a global regulatory structure. And that was the purpose of what has been called Bretton Woods II, which met November 15th in Washington, D.C. It's also called
this
the
last
G20
month. Right. Okay. Right. So that was the economic summit that President Bush held for the G20.
That is correct.
And according to an article that was printed on Newsmax, they write here, sovereignty is out the window. Without a vote, we are suddenly members of the European Union. Given the dismal record of those nations at creating jobs and sustaining growth, merging with the Europeans is like a partnership with death. At the G20 meeting, Bush agreed to subject the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, and our other regulatory agencies to the supervision of a global entity that would critique its regulatory standards and demand changes if it felt they were necessary. Bush agreed to create a college of supervisors. And you can go to there's actually, if you go to my blog and go down one blog before my last one, you'll find a link there to read that whole article. Is this true? Did President Bush at this G20 meeting in this month basically hand over the United States economic sovereignty to the EU and global bodies?
there have been a number of steps over the years whereby our economic sovereignty has been in the process of being torn down, just like yours. And the steps to that come through two major entities. One is the United Nations and the structures that we've been talking about. The other is the Bank for International Settlements. And as such, I would say to you that there's a bigger picture. I'm sure Newsmax is correct, a College of Supervisors. Now, there are entities that are already functioning right now, which could be called a College of Supervisors. At this moment, since I'm not an insider, you know, I can say, okay, we have the Financial Stability Forum. Now, I know that you and your listeners have not heard of the Financial Stability Forum. And so I want to give you a little bit of understanding, and if people, again, will look at those PowerPoint slides, and they will go to, let's see here, if they will go to, we're going to talk about the central banking system of the world. All right, because it's extremely important. So if you will go to Power Slide 8, it says Central Banks of the World. We are seeing world government. How would it come? There were those of us in the Christian circles that surmised world government would be political. However, what we are seeing is, apparently, world government is first economic. Why? Because you have to have some kind of common thread. It's true. All the barriers, with the exception of the financial regulatory barriers, all the barriers between the nation states have fallen. It is true, as I have explained, the IMF and the United Nations and the WTO, etc. However, there has been a banking structure that has dominated the world beginning in 1688. And that is, in 1688, there were, and I don't know the details, there were people who came together in Sweden. And these people were very smart and decided that, look, if they could lend money to the government of Sweden, the government would only have to pay interest, and that these people would earn interest forever on the money that they lent to the government.
I'm going to ask you to hold your thought there because we have to take a break. But we are speaking with Joan Vian, and when we get back from the break, I'm going to ask her about what she has on her website. She has World Government is Not Coming, It's Here. And also about another article she wrote about America's reduced status to a third world entity. What does that mean? All this when we get back, and we'll take your calls as well. 1-800-270-4288.
Praying for 40 days straight at the Western Wall in Jerusalem is a famous Jewish practice. Many have made the pilgrimage to pray for marriage, income, children, or healing. Now you too can have a 40-day prayer. Western Wall Prayers will employ a full-time Torah student to pray on your behalf or on behalf of a loved one for 40 days straight at the Wall. If you need a special prayer, visit westernwallprayers.org. That's westernwallprayers.org.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and israelnationalradio.com present The Tamar Yonah Show. Here's Tamar Yonah.
Are we already under global government? Well, Joan Vian says yes, and she is a businesswoman, author, researcher, lecturer. She goes around the world following UN conferences, and she's been to over 91 of them. And she has a new video out called 2008 Credit Crisis, The Final Transfer of America's Financial Sovereignty. And is this financial crisis that has happened in America and is spreading around to the world, was this planned? And if it was planned, was it because in order to get nation states to form under a big umbrella world government. You got to weaken them so they'll clamor and say, someone save us. And you have world government coming in saying, we all have to get together to solve this problem. Let's do it. Because if you have strong nation states and they don't need you and they're independent, they're not going to willfully give up their sovereignty and come under an umbrella government where they have elected, where they have officials who are not elected and they're telling you what to do. People who have different, cultures, different value systems. And, is this what the American people want? We're asking those questions. And if you want to call into the show, 1-800-270-4288. And I urge you to go as well to Joan Vian's website. It's www.womensgroup.org. W-O-M-E-N-S group.org. And on the right-hand column, there is a PowerPoint presentation for you to view so you can understand very easily and simply through, slides how the world government can erode the sovereignty of nation states, how it works. It's very simple because it's in diagrams there for you, and you can understand exactly what's happening. So go to her website and check that out, and also you can order her video there as well. Welcome back to the show, Joan Vian.
Thank you. I was talking about the beginning of what is called the central banking system. It started in Sweden. It went to England in 1694. A group of businessmen, which also included King William. He was one of the largest investors in the Bank of England. And then from the Bank of England, it literally went around the world, the Bank of France, the Dutch Central Bank, the Bundesbank, the Bank of Japan in 1882, and the Federal Reserve in 1913. And so we are seeing that the world is controlled by central banks. If people will go to slide 12, and I should have numbered them, but it says Federal Reserve. Where do these central banks get the money to lend to government? They literally print it. And it's amazing because during this credit crisis, I have heard several times discussion on CNBC and Lou Dobbs that where does the Federal Reserve get the money to lend to the United States Treasury? We're talking about $4 trillion since September. And they basically are now saying they print it. Well, I knew they printed it, but when you would tell people the Federal Reserve is not federal, it has no reserves, it is a private corporation, and they run the monetary system of the United States, people would think that I was... So the bottom line is, why can't the American people forgive themselves the interest on the debt that we owe to the Federal Reserve? It is because it is a private corporation. On slide number 14, you'll see something called the Bank for International Settlements. Every country that has a central bank, there are 161 or 165 central banks in the world. There are 191 countries in the world. About two-thirds of all the central banks are members of the Bank for International Settlements in Basel. The author, Carol Quigley, who wrote the book Tragedy and Hope back in the 60s, Bill Clinton was his protege, and in fact, Carol Quigley chose Bill Clinton for the Rhodes Scholarship Program. He wrote in his book Tragedy and Hope, page 325, the apex of financial capitalism was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central banks, which they themselves were private corporations. The Bank for International Settlements, all you have to do is go to their website, www.bis.org. And again, it's going to take a little bit of time for you to become acclimated. But in 1999, they started something called the Financial Stability Forum. And if you go to overhead number 17, you will see that I have diagrammed the Financial Stability Forum. What is it comprised of? Up until the G20 meeting 2 weeks ago, it was comprised of the Group of Seven. Now, the Group of Seven is our countries comprised of the United States, Canada, Germany, Japan, Italy, France, Great Britain. Okay, the G7 central bank ministers, the G7 treasury secretaries, the G7 regulatory agencies, That includes whatever in your country, whatever agency regulates your stock exchanges, your banking, your mortgages, whatever it is. Here in the United States, we're all independent. We have all kinds of different regulatory agencies. In Britain, Britain is one of the few countries, along with Canada, Australia, Sweden, a couple others, just about five or six or seven countries in the world, have what is considered a global regulatory system. And so you have the Financial Stability Forum at the G20 meeting. They agreed to expand the Financial Stability Forum, which has been meeting and making global recommendations since 1999. And in fact, on my website, you will find an interview. It says Robert Rubin. I did an interview with Robert Rubin in 1999 at the G7 Finance Ministers meeting in Frankfurt, in which I started asking him about the purpose of the Financial Stability Forum, and he frankly was pretty shocked that I even knew it existed. Little did he know that I'd been at the Bank for International Settlements interviewing the newly installed Secretary General of the Financial Stability Forum.
Joan, let me stop you here for a minute, and I want to insert something, because the Jews are very sensitive whenever anybody talks about banking, because when people talk about that, most of the people who are conspiracy theorists will say this is a Zionist conspiracy. It's the Jews.
No.
So when you say bankers, who are you referring to? Are you referring to Rockefellers, Carnegies, who?
You know, there has never been. These are private corporations. To my knowledge, somebody did send me some list that the Federal Reserve confessed to being members, I don't know, some legislature in Montana or something. I don't have it. But overall, these are private corporations. They don't give out a financial statement. They do not issue annual reports. They are private corporations. I do know that there are, you know, banking's banking. I mean, you know, that's how you make money. So there are bankers. Exactly who, I don't know. Could I assume very powerful banking families? Yeah, I could assume that.
Like?
But I can tell you for sure, and I know it's fact, because you will find on overhead page 9 a picture of Edward Wessex, who is the youngest son of Queen Elizabeth. And he did a series of videos about his family's history called Crown and Country. And one of the Crown and Country videos, and I show him taking money out of an ATM, and then he shows a picture of King William, and he explained that his grandfather, great, 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 however many, William II was the largest investor in the Bank of England. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to make a hypothesis that if the British royal family invested in the Bank of England and they're earning interest in perpetuity on the debt of the country of England, that's a great idea, and you can make money. And that, why wouldn't then the British royal family invest in other central banks of the world?
All right, you're bringing a lot of this back to the British royal family then.
Well, they're one of the partners. I don't know who the rest are. I can surmise.
Let me stop you there.
You know, money makes money.
Okay. We only have about 10 minutes left to the show, and we have callers. Can we take a couple of questions?
How can it be 10 minutes? Okay.
Like about 15 minutes.
Okay, wait. I just want to make a comment.
Yes.
If you will look at the PowerPoint slides, the Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson, put together in March of 2008 something called a Blueprint for a Modernized Financial Regulatory Structure. And if you look at the blueprint, it explains what they want to do and where they want it to happen. And we're seeing in the United States every area that is not currently under the aegis, the control of the Federal Reserve. Once the blueprint is implemented, the Federal Reserve will take control of over $31 trillion in assets that they currently don't have control over. And that's where I say that the blueprint transfers to the Federal Reserve the last vestiges of our economic sovereignty. Is this part of world government? Yeah, it is.
Okay? The finances, besides the whole structure that I mentioned earlier, we can now take questions.
Okay, let's go to California. We have joining us Bill. Hi there, Bill. What's your comment or question for Joan Vian?
Yeah, good morning, ladies. Joan, I've read your work and have listened to you many times over the years, and I'm very impressed with the depth of your knowledge and the research. I know there's a lot of people that think that a lot of what you're talking about is conspiracy theory, but I don't believe that that is the point. Now, bottom line, let's cut to the chase. Once we know what's going on, what can we as just regular Joe Sixpack citizens out here in the United States or a citizen of Israel or any other country that's in the clutches of these international pirates, as I call them, what can we do to turn this thing around? Are we going to, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, are we going to have a revolution to overthrow these people?
Well,
or,
that's a very powerful question, Bill. All right, Joan, thanks for your question.
Thank you, Bill. You know, I've covered global meetings for 14 years. I was uncovering little by little this, that, the other thing. It's now coming to a head. We now see the big octopus, if you will, okay? How do you kill an octopus? It's got all these tentacles. If you do it tentacle by tentacle, it's going to take you a long time. You got to go for the heart of the octopus. What is the heart of the octopus? At this point, it appears to be financial. Okay, this is the problem. The banking system of the United States and the banking system of the world has led people into deep debt, so that they have no way out. All of a sudden, now the credit's being cut off. All right. This is what I would say. How do you get out from under the hold that you currently have first as an individual? You got to pay off all your debt, okay, or declare bankruptcy, all right? Play their game. Their game is dirty, downright dirty. They want your heart, your soul, they want all your assets, and they're coming right now. You've got America, and I have a PowerPoint slide showing how much debt that Americans have, and if it's America, it's all the other countries of the world, individuals as well. Start paying off your credit cards, your mortgages. Find a rich uncle, an aunt, a parent who can hold your mortgage and do a private mortgage. Get out from the banking system. Pay down your credit cards. If you have a line of credit, if you've got to beg, borrow, and steal, and I don't mean that literally, you find the money. If you have to, you put your house up for sale. What's it going to sell for? Yeah, I know. But guess what? God, the God who created heaven and earth, is also in real estate.
Joan, you're talking about individual things, but what about on a national basis? How can America
on a national basis,
get out of this?
We're going to have to start protesting against the central banks. Look, I don't care who's president, Bush, Obama, Clinton, Bull. They don't have any power. Where is the power? The power is where the money is and who controls the money. Okay, the power is the Federal Reserve in the United States. The power in Israel is the Bank of Israel. Okay, they control your monetary system. They control the heart and the soul of the country. We've just gone through a period in September and October where it became apparent that Congress doesn't have any spine, and they gave in. Why? The stock market dropped 40%.
Okay. So could the American people convince their president by demonstrations, etc., saying, telling the president to say, guess what, Federal Reserve, we're just not going to pay the debts, we don't want to do any more business with you, we're going to be printing our own
you
money
see,
from now
our,
on, that,
our
that
Congress
would do it?
Would have to, yeah, our Congress would have to say to the Federal Reserve, screw you, we're no longer going to pay the interest on our debt. Okay, that's what would have to happen. Will that happen? No. Those people have absolutely no spine. That is the problem. Joe Average is going to have to get out from under the debt because it goes back to the Federal Reserve. All you have to do is look at a dollar and it says note of the Federal Reserve. It doesn't say it's note of the U.S. Treasury Department. And first of all, they have to get out of debt. They have to pay down debt. They have to stop charging, okay? Will that bring the economy to a halt? Absolutely, but it's called what you hear the phrase called deleveraging. Okay, there's an unraveling right now of credit, And credit is the stronghold over countries and the world. Are we going to get out of it? Only God can get us out of it, to be honest. Am I going to tell you to have a revolution? No, I'm not that kind of person. All right? Every person is going to have to understand the fact. They're going to have to understand the situation. They're going to have to pray. They're going to have to determine what they need to do. For me, it's pay down, pay off, get out of the banking system.
All right. All right? Let's go to another caller. We have joining us from Herzliya, Israel. We have Dan. Hi there, Dan. What's your question for?
Hi, Booker Tov.
Joan Vian. Yes.
I wanted to ask you about Stanley Fisher, the head of the
Central Bank Minister of Israel.
Yeah.
He was at the IMF, yeah.
He was at the IMF, the World Bank, and Citibank. He's not Israeli. He supposedly suddenly became a Zionist. I'm not very convinced by that. He hardly speaks Hebrew, even though the media lies about it. And a couple of scripted occasions, he has read a prepared statement. I was wondering, do you think that he was sent here, like, to increase the control by the International Organization of Israel's economy? And, I mean, why couldn't they find an Israeli to be the head of the Bank of Israel? And also, is the Bank of Israel a private bank like the Federal Reserve?
It is?
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes, it is. Stanley Fisher? Stanley Fisher, I don't know why they made him, you know, they might have owed him, okay, or it might have been the next promotion. If you take a look at Timothy Geithner, who's becoming the Treasury Secretary under Obama, Geithner was at Treasury during the Clinton administration. He then went to the New York Federal Reserve, and now he's going back to Treasury. Okay? If you take a look at a previous central bank minister, whom I'm familiar with, whom I've interviewed several times, Jacob Frankel, he obviously is Jewish. He did his stint at, I think it's the World Bank, maybe it's the IMF, one of the two, in the 90s. He was at the IMF World Bank. He's made his rounds, okay? He's now considered an eminent economist, and he's been at, is it Citigroup or Merrill Lynch in London, and he went then to AIG, but he also served as the central bank minister for Israel. Okay, so why they sent Stanley Fisher, I don't know. I thought he was Jewish, but I didn't know he was not.
So you think because he's Jewish, maybe the Israelis would trust him more? Is that what you're saying, why they chose him?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When we say Jewish, and these people aren't necessarily religious people, so it's just, you know, just I can say,
right.
So, you know, Carnegie is Christian, so it's a Christian conspiracy or something like that, and Rockefeller, and et cetera, et cetera. All right,
right.
Let's go to another call. We only have a few minutes left. We have Stan from calling in from Ontario, Canada. And let me just insert this. I just got this interesting email about Canada, by the way, from one of our Canadian listeners. They write here that let me just read it. They say here, this is impossible to believe. I'm crying inside, but our constitution actually allows us here in Canada. Our current conservative government has only been in power a little over a month with a minority government, but after a possible vote of no confidence by the leftist opposition, the leftists, the New Democratic Party, the Bloc Quebecois, I guess that's how you pronounce it, and the Liberals have formed an alliance to overthrow our Canadian government. We are looking at an extreme left government takeover without a vote it says here, without a vote in about a week. What's going on? So that's just an interesting thing there, that even though the conservatives won, it looks like that the leftist liberals are going to be taking over there in Canada. But Stan from Ontario, what's your question for Joan Vian?
Yes, Joan, I'm just going to give you the tip. I know who's going to be leading this, the European Union, Daniel 7:23-24, Daniel 9:26. Revelation 13 tells us it's going to be the European Union that controls the world economies. So there's your answer to who's going to be controlling it through the World Bank, the IMF, and like you said, there's your answer. Who's going to be controlling it? The European Union.
You're very well taken. You're very well taken. And while I'm at it, let me just say that Isaiah 40:22-21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants there are as grasshoppers. And it goes on to say in verse 23 that he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity.
Right.
These are very distressful days, but God is greater.
Joan, we have 2 minutes left. Sum up what you want people to know and do.
Wow. A female should be able to do that, shouldn't they? The bottom line is this. Go to my website, get educated. This is not a conspiracy. This is fact. The ugly head is rearing itself through the credit crises. The people of the world are in grave and deep bondage because of credit and debt, and they are in debt to the central banks of the world. One of the things to do, the biggest thing to do, is stop playing their game. Stop, get out of debt, no matter how you have to do that. Liquidate all your assets, your IRAs, your 401ks, whatever the case may be. Get out of debt. Get out of their chemicals.
First, do it individually,
and then do it as a country. What?
Is America a socialist country today?
Absolutely. We've been socialist. Okay, I've been talking about America and socialism for years. Okay, now Americans are seeing it. Why? Okay, why is it all becoming real? Because they have nothing to hide and they're in control. Mm-hmm. But you see, it is the God of the Bible who will save us. And because I am a Christian, that also includes, in my opinion, the Messiah. So the bottom line is, this is a spiritual battle of epic proportions. It appears to be at an apex at this time, during our lifetime, in history. And the first thing is for each one of us to individually get out of debt, stop charging. If you've got to liquidate all your assets, if you have to sell your house, don't forget God's in real estate, okay? You do that. Get out of debt so that they do not have a stranglehold over you, your family, your finances.
All right. Joan Vian.
And pray for the country.
Thank you very much for being with us. And again, you can go if you want to find out about how this works, the UN, and how they dissolve sovereignties from nation states. Go to our website, www.womensgroup.com. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see the slideshow under Tamar Yonah. Thanks for being with us. Joan Vian, pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the world. Bye.
In an average week in Israel, some 9 people may be killed in road accidents. 1 person on average may be killed by an act of terror. While these statistics are disturbing enough, here's a more chilling one. About 900 Jewish babies a week are aborted in Israel, mostly for economic reasons. But there's hope. There's help. There's Efrat, the Committee for the Rescue of Israeli Babies. For less than what most people spend a week on coffee, you can bring Efrat's help and hope to an expectant mother. Get the facts at friendsofefrat.org. That's Friends of Efrat, EFRAT.org. Most of you listening to this program want to do something to help increase the Jewish population base in Israel. Well, here's a way. I personally invest in the work of Efrat, and I'm asking you to join me in this sacred task. Last year, Efrat saved the lives of 3,027 Jewish children. If they'd had twice the support, they could have saved over 6,000. Visit friendsofefrat.org, then become a friend of Efrat, and then recruit a few new friends of Efrat. Want to help Israel? Here's how. Do it now. Friendsofefrat.org.